Have maintenance and programs in it that tells me when it's time to gas back up, when it's time to change the oil. And it may have even a set program when to alternate the tires and to get a front end alignment. Now, all of these things may be written somewhere. But at the end of the day, it is my choice as the owner to do with it as I so please. And we have to remember, God is our owner. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you have accepted God or not, the Bible declares that the earth is the Lord, and as a conjunction, all, not some, not part, all they that dwell therein. Even the demonic forces and the heavenly forces that you and I cannot see with our natural eye that is existing in this world, God owns it. And so since he owns everything, he has a right to say what he wants to say concerning it. And so when we pray, we're asking him to help us to line up, us being what he designed us to be. Because my car was designed to help me accomplish my going out and my coming in, my carrying this and my carrying that. My truck was designed for me to utilize for business purpose. I can use it for leisure purpose, but it was designed, it was made. I bought it for the explicit purpose of helping me to do business. It can't say to me, I don't no longer want to pull your trailer. Because the very moment it says that, let's not let God have to trade us in. I know that's a hard thought to sometimes to really grasp, but we have to really, truly understand that far greater than what our mind and our intellect is able to formulate or really envision, God is greater. God is greater than what we see. He's greater than what we know. And so when we go to him, we're not going to him as if we're going to a politician and trying to persuade them to see our point of view. We're going to him based on what he has wrote to us. In his writing to us, he tells us that was healing for our body. So when we go to him, we can petition him for healing. In his word, he tells that there's deliverance. David said, create in me, O God, a new heart. Because in other words, he realized that his first heart, which is his subconscious, not that heart that pump blood through the body. His conscience and the things that helped him to make solid and sound decisions or not. If they create a new one in me and renew, don't change my spirit, but renew it. In other words, sometimes you order electronic devices and they've been refurbished. It's the same thing. It may not be new, brand new, but it's been refurbished, been brought back to its original standard or original purpose. And we can ask God to renew a right spirit, not just any kind of spirit, but a right spirit. So when we go to prayer, and then it's a conversation. So after we done asked God for this, that, and the other, after we done told God this, that, and the other, then we need to find ourselves at a still, quiet moment to listen. You ever had somebody come to you and talk to you, and they talk, telling you this, that, and the other, asking you questions, and they keep on going, they keep on going, they ask you some more questions. And every time you get ready to get a word in, they change the subject, they go to something else. And let me tell you this, too. And you were like, well, okay, I guess I'm just listening there. And then at the end of it, they say, why you ain't saying nothing? I done asked me 50 questions. You ain't slowed down. You haven't slowed down what to hear a solid answer. So let's be mindful. As we go to God and ask God for certain things, as we petition God according to his word, let's be kind enough and patient enough to listen to what it is that God is saying to us. So I've done enough talking. I want you to take that prayer request that you have in your heart and your mind right now. And that's the beautiful thing about prayer requests. All of them don't have to be vocal. Because you're not praying to me anyway. We're not praying to each other. There's nothing wrong with us confiding in one another and talking to one another. Those are all good things. But there's some things that we really need to learn how to truly give to God and how to come together in prayer. I don't have to know all the details of your business to pray for you. I don't have to know the ins and outs of your broken relationship to pray for your relationship. I don't have to know the hidden secrets of your sin to pray for your deliverance. I don't need to know none of that. That's none of my business. But it is God's. And because it's God's, it's God's business, that's who we're going to take it to. We're going to take it to the great I am. So let's get those petitions in your mind and your heart right now. I'm praying for my extended family as we have suffered the death of one of our loved ones, Reginald, who was only 2 years older than me. So from a massive heart attack. I'm praying for the family, his immediate family, that they are able to cope. I'm praying that they're able to, that his affairs was to a condition where they don't have to struggle trying to put, as we say, put his body to rest. I'm praying for those of you that have suffered the loss of your loved one in this year, and some even in the years that have passed, and you're still dealing with the pain of the death of that loved one. But I offer you today that there's healing word for all pain, that your grief do not have to be something that's for your eternal life or your living life throughout your life, that you can move beyond the grief of that loved one who has gone on. Some are grieving not because of the death of loved ones, but because of the brokenness and fellowship of their loved ones. We want to pray for you today, those that are going through a separation, broken marriage, broken family. We want to pray for your union. Sometimes we get to a point where we feel that there's no hope for our marriage, our relationships, and there's always hope. So long as there's life in your body, there is hope. The question is, do we really want it? So today we put that on our altar of prayer, of requesting God to intervene. Today we would like God to intervene on the behalf of our nations, to those that are hungry within our nations, are looking and struggling for where to find the nation ill. There's a single parent somewhere raising their children the best they know how and is truly struggling not just to pay the bills, but to give them a healthy meal for their development. And we're praying for provision for them, that God will give them understanding on how to balance their bills and how to properly seek out legitimate help for their struggle. Because there are many programs in many of our systems that are designed to help those that are unable to do all that they should be able to do at this moment. And so we pray for that family who has given up on going to church, not just because of COVID, but because somebody offended them. We pray for that person that their heart is mended from the offense. And we encourage them, just like you found another job, find another fellowship. We want to pray for those that are dealing with AIDS in their body. We have focused so much on the coronavirus that we forget that there are children that are being born with this disease that attack their immune system and will cause them not to have healthy lives, not because of something that they did, but because of the results of the actions of someone else. So, God, we're praying for them that's dealing with generational curses, stuff that was passed down from their father, their mother, that they are plagued with now in their life. God, we pray for them. We lift these circumstances and these situations up before you, Father God. God, we know that your word has given us so many promises. Promises of being part of your royal priesthood, a chosen people called out for your purpose. So we pray that we are able to press towards the mark of the high calling which is in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Because your word told us if we seek you first in your kingdom and all its righteousness, that things would just be added to us. Not any things, but things that we need to accomplish what you have called us to do. So God, you know what our mortgage are, what our bills are, our grocery bills are, our utility bills are. God, you know these things are needful in our lives to be responsible citizens wherever we are. That we are to pay our bills on time. And God, we're asking that you will help us to walk in a spirit of excellence, that although our credit may have already been shot because we're unable to pay medical bills or because we have had things to go against our credit, repossession, foreclosure. God, we know that you are our redeemer. And not only have you redeemed our soul, but you can redeem our credit. Put us back in good standing with our fellow man. So God, give us a plan on how to pay our bills and get back in line with where we need to be good citizens. You told us to live peaceably with all men, and so God, help us to get along with our neighbors that may believe differently from the way we believe, may have an alternative lifestyle that's contrary to what we believe and what we think is right. God, we're asking for your peace to settle in us, that when our neighbors look at us, they're not looking at someone who's complaining, always fussing, always stirring up something, but they're looking at someone who is trusting you, someone who's praying to you, someone who is dependent upon you, someone who truly believes in you, Father. Let our neighbor be able to witness our relationship with you, Father, whether they see it up close or from a distance. Let our behavior, to line up with your will for our lives. And God, as you do these things, God, we say thank you. We thank you for being that visitor to those of our loved ones we can't reach. That's in the nursery home, that's in hospice, that's in ICU, that's in the hospital, that's living on their own. But remind us, Lord God, to pick up the phone, to call them, to see about them, to check on them. Those that are still grieving, God, touch our heart to call and to check on our brothers and sisters in faith, to see how they're doing, to be a burden bearer with them, to walk the additional mile with them, to be a shoulder for them to cry on if need be, and them to be a shoulder if we need to cry. Father, help us to line up according to your will. You said, let the weak say that they are strong. So today we speak strength over our mind. We speak to our conscience and our subconscious, and we command it to be strong in you. We command our spirit being, our total being of you, and to be strong in you and not to waver in our faith concerning you. We speak to our own lives and we command ourselves to be better than what we were yesterday and to admit to our mistakes and to right the wrong that we have done. Help us, Father. God, you are able to do so many things. So we pray for our law enforcement, our men and women of the military, that their job is to serve and protect. We pray for their safety, Lord God, as they're doing their duty to serve and protect. We pray for their spiritual alertness that will keep them vigilant at their post, that they would not be caught sleeping or slumbering in their duties. And God, we thank you now for covering them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Allow no evil to overtake them so that they may return to their families at the appointed time safely to enjoy their lives as well. And we thank you, Lord God, for our men and women in government. because we know that government is authorized by you. And so, God, we pray for the men and the women that is in charge of our nations. Here in America, God, we pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. God, we ask that you will continue to give them what to do and how to do. Allow the cabinet and their council, allow them to be full of wisdom, to give them proper instruction and complete information so that they can make the best and most effective informed decisions that will cause blessings in our nations to happen. God, we pray for our local governors and mayors, our city council men and women, those that sit on the boards of decisions in our country. God, we pray for them. God, as we have prayed for them, how can we not pray for our men and women of faith that are in control of our churches, the structure organizations which we stand under? I pray for my very own presiding bishop, the Bishop J. Ju Sheard. God bless him and his wife. Continue to strengthen him as our shepherd, as our chief apostle. God bless him and give him wisdom and knowledge on how to continue to govern the church. We pray for the men and women on our board of bishops. Our board of bishops are of men, and we pray for these men that they are full of standard that is holy. I pray for my own very own traditional bishop, Bishop Brandon Porter. Lift him up before you, Lord God. Lift these men and their wives up to you, Lord God, as leaders, but also those that have clay feet. Continue to strengthen them and bless them, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord God, for my brother, Pastor Calhoun, as I serve with him to do things under him as the chief shepherd of our organization. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that we continue to do your will. I pray for my parents, Lord God. I pray for our listeners' parents. If we stand in the gap for those that had an influence in our lives at such a time, many of our parents knew you and did their best to teach us who you were. And we say thank you. But there's a group of us who our parents didn't know you, full of iniquity, and did wrong in the upbringing of us. So God, we pray now for our heart to offer them true forgiveness. I forgive, Lord God, my ancestors, my parents, my forebears that have done wrong by me and have caused harm some way, some shape in my life. But God, I thank you that it did not destroy me. I thank you, Lord God, that it may have shaped some emotional behaviors, but God, I subject myself to your will. And I stand in the gap of those that are praying with me, Father, that we subject our will to your will and we forgive. As you have forgiven us of our sins, so we forgive those of their sins against us. God, we ask for that constant reminder of when that pain comes back up again, that we can say to the pain, it's under the blood. That was yesterday. Today is a new day. Help us to move forward, Father God. And God, as you do it, God, we just say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to move forward. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to grow better. We thank you for allowing that which was done wrong by us to teach us how to do right by others. And we pray, Lord God, that we ourselves are not abusers like those who have abused us. And God, if we have been guilty of that, God, forgive us and help us to forgive ourselves. Help us to forgive ourselves so that we may move on to be who you want us to be, Father. So, God, we surrender at the altar today our will. And we say, as Christ taught his disciples how to pray, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thou will, Father God, be done in my life according to your own will, God. Because you said in Jeremiah 29:11 that you know your thoughts towards us, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. You said also in Jeremiah, Lord, that before you formed us, you knew us. While we was in our mother's womb, you have already ordained us for a purpose. And so we stand on that same principle today, Lord, that the very hairs of our head is numbered according to Scripture. And that's how intimately you know us. But God, we want to intimately know you. So Holy Spirit, help us to consume the word even more. Help us to consume God, who is life, even more. Help us, Lord God, through your word, to accept all of your truth and not compromise in our life. And God, as you do it, we just say thank you. We love you today, Lord God. Businessmen and women that are trying to do things to bring support, financial support to their family. God, we pray that they do it in a righteous way that is honorable and respectable in your sight. And we thank you now. We count these and many more blessings that you have in store for us because we believe your word that eyes haven't seen nor ear heard the good thing that you have already prepared for them that love you and are called according to your purpose. So, God, we thank you now that we do love you and you have called us with purpose. And we thank you for the call. We love you today, Father God. Thank you for teaching us and being patient with us as we learn how to love you in return. We love you today, and we thank you. Amen and amen. Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I tell y'all, I wasn't finished praying, but I stopped because the program must go forward. I know you came listening for some music and a good message and all of that, but every now and then we have to stop and just listen to the time of prayer. We're going to pause for a few moments and do a few commercials, and we'll be right back. Hey, get your Bibles today. I want to go into Scriptures with you and give you something that we can walk together with on today. So have your Bible. I'm not going to tell you where we're going to go just yet. No, no, no. You're going to have to wait on that. Amen. I'll be back. I want to open up the mics here and give you opportunity just to say hello to those of you. I see a few of you have the button to say some things. And so I'm coming your way. So don't give up. Don't go in. Got a large audience tonight. Hey, God bless all of you. Amen. God bless you in area code 901. God bless you in area code 216. God bless you area code 440. God bless you, area code 215. Amen. Amen. So many more. Amen. God bless all of you in your respectful places. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refuse to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. There's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Don't think every door, I am your child and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love
when there's so much more. It brings is worth fighting for, and I'll be faithful to my wife and children because Cause my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out, hallelujah, here, hallelujah, life with you is worth fighting. Our heaven is heaven earth. There is so much more.
I'm talking to you. That was for you. You, sir, you, ma'am, are worth fighting for. Oftentimes, we may have those moments of reflection where we ourselves don't feel like we should be very much loved. We look at what we consider imperfections, you know, being overweight or being shaped a certain way or a certain look or so many different things that we may can choose concerning our body's appearance and think that, wow, somebody loved me looking like this. And we feel like, how can they love us? Or we may have made certain mistakes in life, in our past, that we feel undeserving of people love, you know, especially if you yourself, you were the one that was unfaithful, you were the one that lied, you were the one that deceived, and you realize that and it costs you something, and you're still dealing with that. I want you to know that there's deliverance for you today. There's peace, there's joy for you today, because when you ask God to forgive you, you mean it from your heart, and you're sincerely apologetic, not just sorry that you got caught. You know, the kid with the hand in the cookie jar saying, I'm sorry, but their whole heart want that cookie, and they hoping you say, go ahead. Nah, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about realizing that you went the wrong direction. And it costs you something for going that direction. And you're godly sorrowful that you did it. I want you to know God has forgiven you if you asked. So now it's time for you to forgive yourself and know that you're favored of God. And God has already deemed you and I worthy to fight for. That's right, because if God didn't care, we probably just wouldn't be here. So he do care. Amen. I'm going to take a moment to open up the mics here. Missionary Ken, good evening. God bless you, man of God. How are you? Brother Six, good evening. God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pastor Bonnet.
Amen. And so many other you that I'm opening your mic and you hear it. It says that your mic is open.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Sister Ruth. God bless you. It's good to hear you, woman of God. Ruth and her prophecies. If y'all haven't heard
her talk about
those prophecies, God bless you, Sister Emily. I encourage you to join our missionary Wolfgang and their program when that Ruth is talking about those prophecies. Amen. There's some good information that she gives in that. Amen. All right. Anybody has something to say tonight? I just want to know, how do you feel? And don't give me the generic version. I feel like, how do you feel? Yeah. On a scale 1 to 10, what is your mental state this evening?
I'm afraid for Sister Emily. She's going to have to walk home in the dark tonight.
Okay, we're praying for her. Amen. Safety. Yes. Amen. That God will give her a traveling mercy. Amen. Amen.
Hey,
how
Pastor
is your
Vaughn.
Yes, Sister Emily.
I was just going to ask you and the church down there, as well as our listeners, to be praying for my family. There is a special need that I got a phone call about earlier this evening, and I have an aunt. She's 80 years old. She is needing prayer. Her name is Lois.
Amen. Amen. That's my God.
My mom said to tell you she's praying for you, Sister Bonnie, and Brother Six.
Amen. Tell her thank you. I need it.
No
I
problem.
I want it. Tell her hi. And you make sure the next time you see her, you give her a great big old hug for me.
Will do, Dad.
All right.
I'll even give her a hug from Mom and Big Brother.
Amen, amen. I'm still waiting on somebody to answer my question on tonight. I asked, how do you feel on a scale 1 to 10, how is your mental this evening? Talk to us. The lines
I'll put
are...
this way. I'm off the chart.
Wait a minute. Is he off? That means you're zero and below or in the negative, or are you in the positive where you're 11, 12, 13, somewhere way up yonder?
I'm above 10, I'll put it that way.
And me,
right.
I feel it my fingers.
Okay, okay.
You know, these two, you get them going, Pastor Bonnet, you might have a comedy show on your hands.
That's all right. That's all right. We're gonna pray. We're still in the area of prayer. So we're still praying for them. You know, we're still praying for them.
Well, Missionary Ken said he feels with his fingers. Well, I feel with my fingers and my toes.
Oh Lord, help us, help us. What's your number, Missionary Ken? Since you're feeling with your fingers, what number do you feel?
All 10.
All
especially
right,
when
all
I'm
right.
doing braille, so I let my fingers do the walking.
All right, Brother Six, come on.
If he ever comes up to visit, Kenny, we're going to have to teach him braille and give him a nice big dinner.
All right. That I look forward to. I definitely look forward to that. Amen. Brother Six, your mic is open.
Okay, brother.
You may have yourself muted. Amen. Well, we'll come back to Brother Six. I know he's there. I just communicated with him by another means, so I know he's there. Amen. So something going on with his side. Amen. But nevertheless, anyone else care to share? How do you feel this evening? I want us to get in the habit of a people to not be afraid to say, I'm not feeling well, when you're not. Now, I'm not telling you to get caught in disparity, but this is a time when someone can pray with you and pray for you. And you never know where your answer may be or whom it may be in. Now, you don't have to go around telling everybody how you feel. I'm not saying that. But I am saying when you are in the fellowship of like believers, there is an anointing in the midst of that to bring your overall joy levels up. And as Sister Emily said, above the chart, I sincerely believe that God is able to just lift our joy up to the point where there is no number for it. We're just full of it. We are overflowing. Good down, pressed down, shaking together, running over type of joy. It's in our lives. And so I just believe that. And I want to encourage that in our midst and among us. So I'm going to move on.
Amen, amen, amen. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How you doing, Brother Stick? It's a blessing
I am
to hear
great.
You on this evening.
Thank you. Thank you.
And how is your number today?
My mental today, I would have to say it's an 8.
Okay. I like 8.
Hmm?
I like
Thank
8.
You.
8
Thank
represent
you.
New beginning. Amen,
amen.
Amen. 8 represent a starting over, a new beginning. You ever done something and wish you could do it over?
We've all done that one.
Yeah.
Amen. And so
Testify on it.
Yeah.
Whenever
well,
you
not,
come up to see us, I want you to bring 6 and your wife, too.
Now, I think if I come up to Astrobura, I have to go up to 6 first and come back down, if I'm not mistaken, on my geographical map. I think I have to go up, get 6, and come back to Astrobura.
Yeah, Astrobura is at the top there. It's on the right. Yeah, it's way up. We're northeastern Ohio.
I believe he's to the right side of Ohio, and y'all are to the left side, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, actually, we're northeast. Right, Candy?
So, I don't know.
You got the two reversed, Pastor Bonnet. He's kind of mid-center.
Uh-huh.
And we're to the northeast, which means we're to practically as far to the right, top right corner of the state as we can be.
And he could visit Lakeshore Park. He'd like that too.
If you follow a road map, Route 71 comes up, and then you hit 271, and that takes you up toward Cleveland. And then when you catch that, then you catch I-90 east. And then that takes you to Ashtabula.
Okay. And he's before Cleveland, and y'all are after Cleveland. Is that it?
Right. So you'd be hitting him first and then us after that.
So I had it in reverse. Okay, I had it in reverse. All right.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for the help. Thank you for the history lesson.
Thank you for the interruption. So like I was saying, it's an improvement from Sunday where I was at a 5. So now I'm at an 8, and I have one more birthday to get through for August. And that will be my brother's birthday coming up on Wednesday.
The 31st, right?
Yes. So his birthday is Wednesday. Make it out of August. Then perhaps I'll be at a 10. But August is very rough, very rough, very rough. But I'm here, still standing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, my godmother, her birthday is on the 31st, and my godbrother her brother who just passed. He was two years past me, older than me, and his birthday would have been first week of September. I think I want to say the second, something like that. So he just shy of his 56th birthday.
Wow.
So.
Well, our condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our thoughts and prayers go out to your family at this difficult time. Your wife, you know, the whole family. We're just praying for strength and comfort at this difficult time. And,
amen.
And we also want to say happy heavenly birthday to Michael Joseph Jackson. As you know, one of my favorite artists. And that is the time you found out. Yeah, that's the time you found out I couldn't dance at that club when they turned that strobe light off on me. I've not danced since. I mean, I met everybody in that club, and it wasn't on purpose.
I ain't gonna mess with that.
So what I learned is I'm not to dance. I'm to make the world dance. So there you go.
Okay, there you go. I accept that. It's not your job to dance, but to get everybody else dancing. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. All I can say is, though, on this, you know, most of the world followed by example, though. So, but keep up the good work. You're doing good.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy birthday. Happy birthday to the king of pop, Michael Jackson. And we're sending thoughts and prayers to your family at this difficult time. And a special hello to Janet Jackson. Hello from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. And the rest of the Jacksons, too. I don't want to leave y'all out. Especially Mama Catherine. Love from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Now back to Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
Y'all got to love our founder, amen, of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. He has done a phenomenal job over these past 10 years of radio, and we encourage him to continue 10 more. Amen. And so we're looking to see what God is going to do through you and with you in the area of radio, because we know you have so much more to give. So stay encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged. You are a greater encourager than you realize, because for the most of us that deals with sound, we deal with it from a sighted view. We're able to see the sound levels through the volume indicator. We're able to do those adjustments based on what we can see, not necessarily what we hear. And God has gifted you in this season of your life that you no longer have to see, but you can continue just to hear and do the same productive work as before. So God bless you, man. You be encouraged. You are an encourager to those that just because life offers you a curveball, it doesn't mean you have to strike out. But you can connect to it and still hit it out the park. So well done. Well done. Keep on going. Keep on going.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Like my baseball analogy? Nah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Got you off that dance floor, put you on the field. Amen. All right. Anybody else dare to share how you feel this evening? Before I go on, I'm going to play about two phones and I'm going to come back.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in a minute. Hey,
okay.
Dad.
Yes. Sister Emily.
I want to send a special birthday wish out to Sister Lila. Her birthday is either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. She'll be 41.
Lila, is that old? Oh, man, I thought Lila was like in her late 20s, early 30s.
No, she turned 40 last year. I think she'll be 41 this year.
That's normally how it goes.
Man, y'all must have sent me a early picture because she looked like a little baby on there. Y'all gave me the wrong picture.
Well, no, that's what her age. That what do you expect? Because she's getting old and looking for her pictures.
Be nice. Be nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's you, big brother, that told Kenny.
You guys are fun tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
Yeah,
amen.
Be nice. Be nice. See, I'm serious, though. Real talk. I did not peg Lila to be 40.
Yeah, she turned 40 last year. She'll be 41 this year.
Well, that's normally how it works. 40, then 41. That's normally how it works.
Yeah. Now, you let me know when somebody go from 40 to 43.
Yeah.
You guys probably didn't think I was 63 either.
Oh, no. We thought she was 36. We thought she was 36.
Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 63.
Going around looking for her, that you're sure.
Yeah, I'm 63, and Kenny is 51.
Wow, wow. So I want to say hello. So I want to say hello. Simone, are you out there?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's on there. So she's a broadcaster as well. She went to school for broadcasting as well. So she's on the line. So hello, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And the rest of our callers, welcome. Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? How's everyone? Good evening.
Good evening. That's a familiar voice. I've heard that voice before.
I don't think you have.
No, this is my first time.
Man, she sounds like... Never mind. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. You sure? You sound familiar.
This is my absolute first time.
Yeah, she's from Philly.
Mm-hmm. She actually sounds like Princess a little bit.
She sounds like the other lady that used to do the talk show, the women program that was done a couple years ago. She almost sound like young lady.
You're talking about Leslie.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have a voice twin.
Yeah.
I have a voice twin.
I think it's the accent. I think you say you from Philly. I think it's that accent because you got that. I can't put the right word on it. It's a certain twang to the tone.
Little
of
twang.
It's that conversation that you know. Yeah, I'm smooth, but if you try me.
Come on, sir. Come on, help me, Lord.
Yeah, it's gonna be help the bear. Don't help me.
Look,
I try my best though
to keep cool.
Okay, so I got the right one anyhow.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining. Hopefully, you enjoyed the prayer. Amen. And we're going to move on further. Why I got you. I must ask, how do you feel and how, on a scale to 1 to 10, if you don't mind answering, how do you feel concerning your mental health?
Mental health, I would say probably, I would say a 7 or 8 mentally. Yeah.
Okay.
Mentally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm good, you know, but life is life.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, just trying to allow myself to feel what it is that I feel, but also
mm-hmm.
trying to encourage myself. So obviously we know who God is, and I have a relationship with him, so I know what he's capable of doing. But there's also
Amen.
that humanity side, you know, and life kind of kicks in where, you know, that's what keeps me at a 7 or 8 versus at a 3 or 2, you know. But just realizing that, you know, I know who he is, but these things are right in my face, and just trying to not let them discourage me. So
Amen.
I thank God for the 7 or 8.
Amen. I like what you said, because you said it could be 3 or 2, and I really like that. I think that's something that we have to realize, that it may not be a 10, but it's not a 1. It's not a 2.
Exactly.
I'm not on the verge of suicide. I'm not on the verge of just feeling like there's no hope or despair.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so good. That is so good to hear that correlation there. Accepting the fact that it's not a 10, but in full recognition and respect that it's not a 2 or 3. And I really like the way you express that, and I think that's important. And that's why I'm just resounding that, because I really want that to echo in the ears of someone who's really trying to figure out what they're going to do tomorrow.
Because
sometimes life, you know, at this moment, you know, they done told you they're going to evict you. And you got to get out. They gonna pick
Excuse me, sir. We have some feedback. Please mute everybody's mic that's not speaking right now. Thank you.
Okay, I take care of that. I'm not sure who was bleeding in.
If somebody has a TV on. If you
want
to watch TV, hang up.
It may just be in a background picking up real good. So what I do is I go back and I mute a couple of lines that I know that is not on the program. That might do it right there. I think that's the feedback right there. Okay. All right.
Hey, guys, I want to praise the Lord for a minute.
Okay.
Because it's been since April that I've been sick, and I've had the cellulitis in the abdominal wall, but the Lord gave me the most wonderful sleep last night I've ever had in my life. And I'm just praising his name that he is actually starting to heal this problem. I'm going to see a wound guy at a wound center. And then the things on my stomach should be gone. Praise the Lord, the bugs are gone. We had the big extermination and that big heat treatment. And these guys had a blast with Kenny. They were here for 6 hours, and I went to the library for a while, but he went crazy with those two guys. They were funny. And they're coming back, I guess, to do some more spraying just in case we have any stragglers. So I'll be so glad, because I've been sleeping wonderful now that I don't have the bugs to bother me.
Well,
I thank God that, you know, he is actually healing me. I think I'm going to have an injection. I am going to a pain doctor tomorrow at my PCP. But I really believe God's still going to heal me. I actually believe he is.
Amen.
You're asking people to tell you the numbers, how they're feeling, right? Well, actually, they can't use a 9.
And that is because?
Well, count from 7 to 9.
8.
No, 7.
8.
7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you know why, because 7, 8, 9.
They were hungry.
7 got hungry and 8, 9.
Such a silly.
So 9 don't exist. He got ate up by 7.
Oh, you're so fun, darling.
I know the joke.
And this name, okay.
I didn't hear that last comment.
That lady wants to talk to you, Q.
Okay. All right. Anyone else before I move on? Anyone else? And once again.
Hi,
is that Lila?
It is.
Oh, hi, sweetheart.
Happy pre-birthday.
Yeah, we've been trying to get a hold of you all day. I haven't heard from you.
Happy pre-birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday, darling. Now you're going to be birthday a couple days, huh?
Tomorrow
is. Is your birthday the 30th or the 31st?
Tomorrow's my birthday, guys. Tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, cool. You probably don't feel any older. I know when I get my birthday, I feel that way.
I do have a number I wanted to rate my skill on, and it's 0 right now.
Okay.
And the reason why I choose 0 is because I'm really depressed and scared crap right now. Stuff like that right now because of all the stuff that's going on here at the nursing home.
Okay. Well.
So I've been through a lot of stuff and everything, and it's like I need a break somehow to get a break for the weekend or something from this place.
Well, maybe I can see if I can get us to go to that church yet. I might see if I can get them pick you up out there. I got to call the church.
Yeah, would you?
That would give you a chance to get away from the stress, darling.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well,
they have a van that will pick us up, so.
Amen. What I would like to pray for you, Sister Lila, is that on this evening, tonight, as you go to sleep, that your sleep is peaceful and restful. That way, when you get up in the morning, regardless to whatever your circumstance is, your body itself is rejuvenated. So I'm praying personally that you have a peaceful and very restful sleep. So that when you wake up on your birthday, that you will be able just to tell God thank you that you see it. Many times my family has asked me over the past couple of years here, after I turned 50, I stopped telling them what I wanted. And they ask me every year, what you want for your birthday? What you want for your birthday? I just tell them, I said, I just want to see it. God has been good to me. My mental, Candy said we can't say 9 because 9 got ate up. Well, I'm full of 9. I'm full of 9. So since I can't say 9, I'm going to say 10. Because in all things.
Oh, I can echo one about that one. I've
been practicing as a Christian just to tell God thank you each day. And I can't really explain to you the joy that it has given me. I testified a few weeks ago how I was going to do a job at a church. And I stopped and gassed up my equipment. And so my equipment is on a trailer, an open trailer, tilt trailer. And I gassed up all my equipment, gassed up my vehicle, and I headed towards the church to do that service, to cut the yard. And when I got to the church, my mind was on a friend of mine who's a pastor as well here. He had sent me his podcast, and I was listening to it. And So I had tuned everything else out. I get to the church and my vehicle didn't pull when I was going up on the hill to drive into the church parking lot. And so when I looked in my rearview mirror, I didn't see my equipment. And so I'm thinking maybe it's in my blind spot because I'm turning. And so I look out of my side view mirror. I still didn't see it. I make the complete turn where I line my truck up, and I still don't see my equipment. And I had an oh-my-God-real moment because my complete equipment, my trailer, had completely detached itself from my truck. And I had no idea where it was. And for me to replace my equipment and trailer, I'm looking at least $12,000 just to replace what was there that day. And my first thought came across my mind was going home without my trailer, saying to my wife, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, as that thought came to my mind, I rebuked it and said, Lord, show me. And I cried out to the Lord, and I instantly hit the gas. I had to put it in park. I had to wait for it to calm back down, the engine to calm back down, so I could put it in gear and go. And I drove back in the direction that I came to sign my trailer. And my trailer was on the expressway. And it had the tilt part of the trailer, the tilt part that you put your ball joint release, had buried itself. It's about 3 feet long itself. It had buried itself in the dirt. I had to dig to get it out. It had traveled from what I can visually see over 440-so-odd yards, quarter of a mile, at least that, because I can see the scratch marks in the street from the exit point of Graham Street to the entry point of Graham Street, which went up under an underpass, and it went up under the underpass onto the upcoming of the ramp of the underpass, rolled it, and never went into the street. It stayed in the emergency lane. My trailer should have and could have crossed the traffic street and caused damage to an oncoming vehicle, anybody that was close by. When it disconnected, could have flipped and tore up all of my equipment. It passed one of the metal poles that would have cost me thousands of dollars to repair, to have replaced, rather. And they don't repair them, they replace them. And you have to pay for that. And I had a real, oh my God, moment. But I videoed that for dexterity purpose, so that when we testify about the goodness of God, we got evidence that God take care of his children. I had no idea, none, that my trailer had disconnected. This was the second time. The first time it did it, I saw it. Chain that was connected, that held it to the truck, as well as being coming disconnected from the ball joint. But God. So I say that to you, Lila, that sometimes in your darkest moment, if we can manage to focus on God, if we can manage to keep our eyes on what he's able to do, the thing that we thought we lost, God will let us find. The thing that we thought that went wrong, God will show us how to make it right. And God will provide for us in the midst of whatever's going on. And so as a preacher, I do a wonderful job, a good job, I would say, in telling you all what the Bible has said and telling y'all about the stories all in the Bible of this person going through this and that. And all of that stuff is fine. But there's no greater testimony that I can give you than the experience that I myself have had with the Lord. And so I say to you, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Have already overcome the world. If you believe in him, believe also in whom sent him, that's the Father. And your joy will always be restored. Your joy. And so your birthday, regardless of whatever material thing that you could receive from anybody, the mere fact that God will allow you to see it is enough to praise him and to be determined not to let no one steal that joy from you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. And because it belongs to you, you have a right to claim that. In school, if you lost something, usually it found itself in what was called the lost and found. And if you was able to identify with what was lost, you can go and look inside the box and identify your property and reclaim it. I'm speaking to somebody other than Lila today. That the enemy has stolen something precious from your spirit of joy. And I want you to identify with your pure joy of just being happy to be alive. And if the devil has stolen any of that from you, I want you to know it's in a box called Lost and Found. And you have the right to go to the box. What is the box, though, preacher? Where is the box? Well, it is the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. You can go to God's word, and you can proclaim what belongs to you. And because you was able to identify with it, you can have it back. If your joy should have been a 7 today and it's a 3, I want you to declare it is a 7. If it's a 7 today and it should have been a 9, I don't care who ate it, claim it. Claim what belongs to you by with what the enemy has taken. One of the things, I gave it at the end of the message, is In order to truly overcome, you must be able to properly evaluate where you are. And many times we have to reevaluate our lives. That means important for you to establish now what's truly important today. Let me talk about Kenneth, okay? Not Pastor Bonnet, not preacher, not prophet, none of that. Now, let me talk about Kenneth. Once upon a time, when Kenneth had left the church, what was important to him was this thing called sex. Yeah. It didn't matter from whom he received it from. What mattered to him was that he got it from the one he wanted to get it from. And he sought out, he being me, y'all, talking about me. I ain't talking about you. He sought out sex because for whatever reason in his mind, he thought because he can prove that he was a man and can make her do this and that, he thought that was happiness. But he found himself many times at night still lonely in his heart. This just changed my whole message, y'all. I know this is from God for somebody. Because I wasn't going to share this type of detail. Because many people don't want to hear that the preacher had a life before. But I want to tell you that this preacher, can't speak for other preachers. This preacher didn't have a perfect life. Yes, I grew up in the church. Yes, I received Christ as a child. But I made a decision that I wanted sex, and I read the scripture said the lukewarm he spit out, and to me, being spit out means he don't want nothing to do with you. So I said I'd rather be cold than to play with God. But I found myself not being fulfilled. I found myself not truly being happy. Happy child. Very joyful person. But in the privacy of my own home, looking at the mirror. You ever done that? Just look at the mirror and say, who is this person looking back at me? And wonder about who you are. Because I had begun to do things that I didn't even think that I would do. Went against what I knew. And the very thing that I told one of my partners not to do, I found myself less than a year later saying condescending way, because I thought sex was important. I lost track of the true purpose of life. To me, in that season, was whether or not I was getting that sexual satisfaction. But nevertheless, in the midst of all of that, broken on the inside. And sometimes a lie to the world. And they see somebody happy, but we know the truth. We're broken. I don't know who this for. But if that's you, I want you to know that you don't have to live a lie. You don't have to, you can be happy. In the midst of your brokenness, God is able to redeem you and to heal you. Part of my testimony is I was walking down Duval Street, and this was what I know because I know what I heard. As I was walking down Duval Street in Jacksonville, Florida, I was crossing the street, and I heard God call me audibly. And when he called me, and when he told me what he told me, I cried out to him, "Lord, I don't know how. Come back." Because he called me, because he didn't leave me, but I was leaving him. In fact, I had completely left him. And so on my road of destruction, God still had a voice that reached me in darkness. And he called to me and told me that direction was the direction that was leading to hell. Come back home. And I said, "I don't know." And this is why I celebrate parents that are saved before the life of their children and take time to minister to their children the gospel. My mother always reminded us that we belong to God. She often apologized to me in tears for having me at such a young age. My mama had me at 13. She turned 14 the month later. And she felt like my life could have been better if she would have waited and did the things that God wanted her to do it the way God wanted. And that was her pain. So she never ceased. And even today, no matter how much me and my brother preach, no matter how many people we reach, she still tells us today, she still tells us, finish strong. Never mind what you did yesterday. Never mind. Yes, you preached a good message. Yes, you taught a good word. But finish. And I'm saying to somebody, you can finish in God. Because his answer to me being in my broken place was to go to your mother. See, and a lot of times we don't want to humble ourselves and go back to those that we have walked away from. I didn't do my mama wrong. I didn't do wrong by the house. I just left the house. So I didn't burn bridges because I understood, because grandmama taught me at a very young age, don't you burn bridges, boy, because you never know which one you're going to need to get back on the other side. just so happened when I called my mother, she was going to this one particular ministry, and I went there with her. And although in the street I had repented, in the ministry I reconnected back to God. We went over to another ministry, and there God reannounced his calling for my life in ministry as a minister. And there I began to pick up what God had told me I was called to do. A year later, I'm married. And some 26, 27 years later, here I am talking to you. God has been good. Has it been good days? No, it's been days where I was wondering, Lord, help me to feed my family. Oh, that's real. There's been a few times that I had to go and get help. I had to get some food stamps. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. 10 years ago, I was living in an apartment. Keyword, living. Living. Some of us, we've been surviving, but it's time to live. It's time for you to live your life and not just survive your life. I want you to think what that truly means to you and what that should mean for you. See, surviving is you enduring whatever come your way without plans to make things different. But living is you making plans for things to get better. Don't mean that it all gonna get better, but you made a plan. You had a conversation with God. You did what you was able to do. If it succeeded, you told God thank you. When it failed, you told God thank you and to show you what you need to do better. That's living. To live is Christ. We're not going to talk about the other part. To live is Christ. So to live, I want to live. So to live is Christ. Ain't my time to gain right now, my eternal existence. No, if I'm living in this existence, I'm living in this life, and it's important to God that me as his child represent him right. What's embarrassing to a person that have wherewithal? It is, what's embarrassing to them is when their children behave like they don't have any upbringing, when their children dress like they don't have any good clothes, when their children eat like they haven't been provided the right nutritional product. What's embarrassing to that parent is when that parent has provided for them all of the needs to live and they make a decision to do something different. That's what's embarrassing to God. We, his children, make a conscious decision not to operate in the benefit that he's provided. Why would I sleep outside unless I'm doing a camp meeting or camp out? Why would I be homeless when he said he's going to supply shelter for me? That he would be my shelter. Why would I be hungry when David even said he was young, he was old, he never saw the righteous people being forsaken by God, nor their children having the need to beg for bread. He said he ain't never seen that. So why would I beg for bread when Matthew told us, take no thought of your tomorrow? When he told us to consider the lilies in the field, the birds, when he told us to consider these things and stated to us that we are so much greater. And if God can provide for the wildflowers to continue to bloom every year without anyone sowing seed, feeding birds, and I've seen dead birds, I've seen birds through accident, but what I've never seen in nature, I've never seen a starving bird. I've never seen a bird malnutrition. No. Have you? Think about it. In nature, have we ever seen, I've seen a bird get caught by another bird, a hawk. I've seen some stuff. But I ain't seen a bird starving.
No, so, me either.
I'm not going to starve. I'm not going to starve because if he can take care of the birds who don't have no refrigerators, no food pantries, shelters, none of that.
Come on now.
And no matter how bad the storm is, I know there in Ashtabula y'all had some storms. Down here in Memphis, we done had some storms. I had a storm just prior to the program where it was lightning right here by the house. As I was finishing up doing the backyard of my neighbor house, it was lightning. I was like, okay, Lord, let me hurry up so I can get my hand off this metal. Yeah, Lord. Help the day, Lord. Anyway, still ain't never seen, in the midst of all this storm, we ain't seen, you hear about families being wiped. We done heard tragedy after tragedy. We know about Christina, the levees breaking, and all of this stuff that happened to mankind. But we ain't hear nothing about no birds being washed off the planet, wiped out. Mm-hmm. Yet after the storm, we hear them singing wonderful songs unto God. Storm, we hear them singing sweet melodies. We ain't never seen birds in what we thought was rehearsal, but we sure hear them in harmony. Now, all I'm saying is if nature know how to honor God, and after the storm of their life, I was doing one house, Mr. and Mrs. Carter house, and I was cleaning off the debris off of their roof. I'm using one of my blowers, and it's blowing, and the wind was already blowing. And there was a nest above the gutter breakdown at the roof overlay. And the bird had built her nest, and she had about three younglings in there with her.
Aww.
And I don't care how much I was blowing, she didn't move. She covered her children. She stayed right there in that net. She had been there for the storm that came through there because the nest was already built. People, the folks told me, say, yes, she's not going nowhere because and she was here when it was pouring down rain.
Wow.
And yet, she was still singing a sweet song.
That's beautiful.
And all I'm saying is, if God can help the birds weather the storm, glory to God, how much more will he do for us that will just stay under his wing? I think Psalm 121 and Psalms 91 are two of those psalms that you want to read for that type of coverage. It talks about God covering us. Take time and read that and let it marinate in your spirit. Matter of fact, and it ain't. I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit now. This wasn't part of my lesson plan for the night, but I believe in just trusting God and just doing what he. And I don't mind telling you, Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. In my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisiness pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thou shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thou inhabitation, glory to God, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge. Y'all remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness of the devil? Well, this is the verse that it refers to. He shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. This is one of them. Glory to God. To keep thee. Give the angels charge over thee. That means the angel can't be shot, can't be caught. They can't go back to God saying, Lord, I done let something bad happen to him. No. He done gave him charge. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And what? In all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And that's what the devil quoted to Jesus. But Jesus already knew who he was. Verse 13 says, thou shalt tread upon lions and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Do you know the name of the Lord? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. But when you call it by name, beautiful thing. When you call him by what he is known for, you know, my mama named Barbara, but I don't call her Barbara. Mm-mm. When I want her undivided attention, I say, Mama. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
My children, no, they don't call me killer. No. They call me by my name. What's my name? My name, Daddy. What is Daddy? Daddy is provider. Daddy is cover. Daddy is shelter. Daddy is a way out. Daddy is the one who will fight for him. Daddy is the peacemaker. Daddy is the heaven. Daddy is that peacemaker and that peace carrier. Yeah, I carry that peace. Daddy would do what he got to do to take care of his. So they call me Daddy. I'm going to leave that alone. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. This is why we can live long, y'all. This is why we can enjoy life. He going to deliver me with long life, not long existence. See, I ain't just surviving. I'm not just existing. Long life, that's something you enjoy, you engage in. I will satisfy him. That's my proof. I will satisfy him. Verse 16 again. With long life will I satisfy him and show him what? My salvation. God say, with long life will he satisfy you. That means you, brothers and sisters, have a full right to enjoy your living and the salvation of the Lord. He's going to show you. He's going to show you how to live right. He's going to show you how to live holy. He's going to show you how to be godly in the midst of all the hell that's running around in this world. He's going to show you. But it started out with he that dwelleth. Where you living? Not your physical address, your mental address. That's why I told the young lady earlier that I appreciate her statement acknowledging that she could have been a 2 or 3, but she a 7 or 8. Could have been. Because she realized, I ain't dwelling outside, so I ain't got to get, I ain't in the storm. It was storming. I was coming in the house, it would start pouring down. It done did what it's going to do. But I'm dry because I'm on the inside. I dwelled. See, life's going to come. It's going to do what it's going to do. Brothers and sisters, life's going to do what it want to. But you got to let your conscience dwell in the house of the Lord. You got to let your understanding dwell in the principle of God's spoken word over your life. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The what place? The secret place. I mean, it ain't known to everybody. Everybody just can't get this. That's why the world is going cray-cray. Yeah, y'all know. The world is cray-cray. COVID-19 hit the scene and everybody is on eggshells about everything. But you know what, Brother Six? I've had to work out here in the public since COVID hit. The job that I had at the warehouse, we was essential because we were providing POS systems for companies that had to have them in order to process food orders and all the other things that they was providing for people during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ended, I was out. doing my electrical work, and I'm working with other contractors, and none of us had on masks.
Wow.
In the warehouse, none of us. Now that I had a mask because after my surgery, I had on a mask prior before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, I took my mask off. And yes, from time to time, I do wear a mask. When we go to service to respect others and their boundaries, we do wear masks. But I realize something. I'm going to live this life because God said I can. Hey,
amen.
This is all that we have to offer you on today. Wow, what a turn of event. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming in and changing what I was going to say. Thank you for speaking to our hearts and our minds to let us know we can live and not die. Thank you for letting us know that you have more to offer us when we dwell in your secret place. So that is Psalms 91 for those that want to go back and read it at your leisure. Read it in the other translation so that you'll get a full understanding of it. Hey, I pray that something that was said today bless you and yours. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I encourage you today to ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. And he'll do that. And he'll teach you how to live a life pleasing unto him. And all you have to do is ask. Mean it from your heart and ask. And the process begins for you, your transformation. The Bible says, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And God wants to give you newness. But you have to first ask him to come in. Hey, I love you. Thank you for joining us here on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bynett. It's been my pleasure to be with you this past 2 hours. Thank you. I respect your time. I'm not going to just go over just because I can. I respect your time. You have families. You have other things to do. And we want you to be able to do them. I want you to sleep well. I want you to rest. Father God, I pray traveling mercy over their lives as they travel to and fro, that they get to their destination and return back home safe and sound in the name of Jesus. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch as well as pray in Jesus' name. Let us all please be good neighbors. I love you with the love of Christ. God bless each of you. This is the end of the program on tonight. Thank you once again. Good night. God bless, and may he keep you in all that you do in his name.
Pastor Bonnet?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to give a real quick comment. I appreciated the message there, but in Psalm 91, we could also look at the other side of the coin. If we don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High, all those things won't be ours. So kind of the opposite side of the coin, those of us need to think about that. If we don't dwell, those promises are not for us if we don't dwell. So we need to dwell in order to get those promises.
Amen. Last words, well spoken. Amen. Thank you very much, sir. God bless all of you once again. Until the next time, to the appointed time. Tomorrow, there's service here on the Six Eyes Radio, Word of the King with Tim Gruber. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen. And good night.
Would you like us to give the donation information and the how to get the program information?
You can, since my screen went blank.
Okay, no problem. First off, for those who would like to help keep us on the air, remember, it may be free for you to listen to, but it does cost us a great deal of money to keep on the air with these great programs. So there are several methods you can do to help us stay on the air. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And yes, God will richly bless you for your love gift. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order, please contact Brother Six at his email address, sixi6@gmail.com. In your subject line, put donation information requested. In the body of your email, just explain you're wishing to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information to send your check or money order. And once you have that, just send in your check or money order. And once again, we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Now, if you wish to get a copy of this program or any other program on demand on the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are several options you got. First off, for you smartphone or tablet users, go to the podcast section, enter Six Eyes Radio, that's SIXEYES space radio, RADIO, click enter. And once we pop up there, you just click subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio on demand every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you can listen to Pastor Bonnet, yes, even on a Saturday. Then, of course, for you Apple or Android users, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, iHeartRadio. Once you've downloaded that, go to your iHeartRadio app. Go in there, in the search box, you enter Six Eyes Radio, SIXEYES, space RADIO, click enter. Once that's up there, then click subscribe, and once again, you'll have all of our programming on demand 24/7. Amen. And then finally, you could check us out on blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, BLOGTALKRADIO. .com/SIXEYES. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. You could just find out where we are real easy by going to your Google search and typing in Six Eyes Radio. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Very well spoken. Amen. God bless each of you. Have a wonderful evening. Good night, one, and good night, all.